This is the R9 Nano. For size comparison, this is a mini ITX motherboard.
Awesome. Right?
Also, just to grind things in a little bit, this does have a Core i7-6700K in it. This is a Z170i MSI motherboard, mini ITX motherboard, the first Skylake mini ITX motherboard. And you can see if you install this GPU in here, you then have what is essentially like probably the highest performance or almost the highest performance small form factor machine that you could possibly really have here. And, you know, get a riser card out of this.
I was going to say, 90-degree angle riser card on that. I want that.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. No, let's do it that way. Yeah, I think we can make that happen. So the R9 Nano, it is a full Fiji GPU, the same shader count, texture count, memory size, memory speed as the Radeon Fury X, but it runs at a lower clock speeds. If you look through our review, we can actually quantify what those lower clock speeds are now. So while the Fury X runs at 1,050 megahertz, and it pretty much runs at that the whole time, this card, it doesn't have a water cooler. Using an air cooler. It's a vapor chamber cooler, so it's a fairly advanced air cooler. Mm-hmm. But it runs anywhere from, in my testing, we saw average clock speeds as low as 830 megahertz and as high as like 960 megahertz, just depending on the game and depending on the resolution. You run at 4K, it's going to run a little bit lower clocks than it does at 25x14. Why does it do that? Because it is sticking inside a 175-watt thermal limit. Right. So if you look at the connection here, you only got one 8-pin power connector and it has a TDP of 175 watts out of the box. And it basically adjusts the clocks to maintain that thermal threshold. You can go into Catalyst Control Center. You can kind of overclock it by adjusting that power limit and you will draw more power and you will run at higher clocks and thus have better performance at the expense of more noise from your fan, more heat being generated inside of more than likely incredibly small case. One other thing worth noting just in terms of physical design, this has three DisplayPort connections and one HDMI, so no DVI, and that HDMI port is only HDMI 1.4a. It is still not HDMI 2.0. So even though, in theory, this could have been one of the best, if not the best, home theater PC graphics cards without HDMI 2.0, it's kind of hard to make that recommendation. AMD tells us that there will be active DisplayPort to HDMI 2.0 adapters available relatively soon, but haven't seen it, haven't tested it. Don't know how much they're going to cost. My guess is not exceptionally inexpensive. Let's talk about a couple of things on the card. Performance-wise, this is within 5 to 10%, maybe even like 4 to 7% of the AMD Radeon Fury, the full-length card. And it's within 15%, 10 to 15% of the AMD Fury X. So this is a fairly high-performance video card.
That's impressive.
All things being equal. Yeah, and that's on 25x14, and that's at 4K. And it does so, it's a little bit louder. The fan movement is there. Also, this card has coil whine. It has PWM, kind of like an inductor-based vibration sound that comes when you're playing a game. You know, higher frame rates, you have a higher pitch sound. Lower frame rates, you have a lower pitch sound. If you've been around GPUs for a long time, you've probably heard coil whine from time to time. This card has that exceptionally badly. It is less noticeable than I expected it to be when installing this in a case, right? On an open test bed with it sitting like basically from here to here, it was awful, right?
Ouch.
And it was immediately noticeable. When we put it in a case, we put it in like a Cooler Master CM110, which is a mini ITX case that won't support full-size graphics cards. And when you add in the air movement of this fan and you add in the air movement of your CPU fan and the case fan, it starts to drone it out. We did a recording. If you watch our video review, you'll see we actually do kind of like a B test of here it is with the AMD Radeon R9 Nano installed, and here it is with the NVIDIA GeForce GTX 970 mini ITX card from ASUS. And you can, they're both kind of loud, right? But we're not looking to measure loudness. We were looking to measure what the tone was and what the texture of the sound might be. And you can definitely tell a difference when you do that. What else? I mean, It's a pretty good card. Like, I mean, it's expensive, I guess, if we should talk about that next. It's $650. So it's the same price as the Fury X. It's $100 more than the Fury. It's about the same price of a 980 Ti, right? But you have to keep in mind that this is a 6-inch graphics card, which is, this is kind of an interesting comparison. This is a GTX 750 Ti that I happen to have sitting there by the off by the test bed. You can kind of see like the PCB lengths are very similar. The Nano is just a little bit longer, but this card, you know, being a very power efficient, I think this was a 75 watt TDP card. This is 175 watts, so it's obviously a different beast. But the compactness of this is really, really impressive. Right. It's not a card for everybody though, and I feel like that needs to be made abundantly clear. If you have room for a full size graphics card, a 10 inch, 11 inch graphics card, do not buy this. Right, you can get the same performance a little bit more and buy like an AMD Fury or a GTX 980, right, and actually save money while you do it as well. If you are somebody who is been eyeing a particular case that requires you to have a small form factor graphics card, but you don't want to sacrifice on GPU performance, this is your best option. The best option from NVIDIA is there's a MSI and an ASUS GTX 970 Mini ITX offering. But they're significantly less expensive first, but they're significantly lower performance as well, anywhere from 30 to 40% lower performance. So this is it's an interesting product. It's kind of like it's a niche for a Mini ITX build, and then it's a niche of that niche to be in a Mini ITX build that needs a very small graphics card. And I don't know. I think AMD is kind of doing a smart thing by like not selling this for $450 or not selling it for $550 because they're going to sell out of it anyway. I really believe that. Like, they're having enough trouble getting Fiji GPUs out and about, and HBM production is kind of difficult based on all we're hearing. So, you know, take this. They're kind of defining a new classification of card, which is a super high performance but very small form factor design. It's made possible by their move to HBM instead of GDDR5 memory. And price it and market it as a enthusiast class kind of like part that, you know, you want to strive to own. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to complain about the pricing on it, and it's completely justified to do that. But if you have room for a different card, don't buy it. It's pretty blunt, right? Like, if you have room for a different card, like, don't buy it. You could buy an AMD or an NVIDIA. I don't really care, but don't buy this one. This one is for people that have a very specific use case in mind, like case modders that are kind of trying to do something very specific while still being able to drive 4K displays and get good frame rates at high resolutions. We'll find a lot of reasons to like this card as well. I think it'll be interesting to see how all that that pans out. And it is actually available today and for sale based on looking around Amazon and Newegg, which is a welcome change after the Skylake release that you can relate to. So
not me. Yeah. I'm not bitter about that at all. So props to the Nano. Delivering the goods. I think Ryan made it abundantly clear. If you have space for a bigger card, buy the bigger card and get more performance for less money.